Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Hunter Muller to the broadcast. Hunter is the president and CEO of HMG Strategy, the fastest-growing provider of innovative thought leadership and networking events for CIOs and senior executives across the IT industry. Hunter's focus over the past 5 years has been researching the work and leadership styles of top transformational executives at leading organizations around the world. Hunter's new book, The Transformational CIO, was published in March 2011 by John Wiley & Sons, and he's working on his second book, On Top of the Cloud, which is scheduled to be published by Wiley in early 2012. Hunter is a member of the executive committee of the Fairfield Westchester chapter of the Society for Information Management and serves as vice president of programs. I recently caught up with Hunter in his office in Westport, Connecticut, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as we discussed the characteristics of transformative IT leaders, Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we discussed Hunter's recommendations on how CIOs should think like CEOs, as well as a wide array of other topics. Hunter Muller, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure having you. Hunter, you recently published the book, The Transformational CIO, Leadership and Innovation Strategies for IT Executives in a Rapidly Changing World. First of all, congratulations on that accomplishment.
Thank you.
I thought we'd begin with the title itself. Love your definition of quote-unquote transformational as it pertains to the Chief Information Officer role.
Well, first off, Peter, if I can, just an aside before we get into that specific definition, this book was in the making for about 17 years. I've always had a passion for the CIO as a leader and assisting and helping the CIO be better and more effective at what they do. I think if you look at the history of the definition of the role of the CIO, it's relatively new in the context of business. At a recent summit in Atlanta, Gerald Shields, the global CIO of Aflac, was talking about innovation. It was the theme of the program of the day. And Gerald's point was, we've been innovating, CIOs have been innovating for decades now, time and again. So the question one gets led to is, well, then why aren't we recognized for that level of innovation? And we'll talk about that more in detail later in this discussion. But answering your question about transformation, I've been fascinated with what does it take to drive transformation. I think CIOs are in perhaps one of the hardest, toughest jobs in an enterprise, in an organization, besides maybe the CEO, in terms of all of the demands that are placed upon that role. But being a transformational CIO, very specifically, it's driving significant change or impact, whether it be three key areas to the market. So EPS, building market share, customer experience, product or loyalty. The second area is being innovative in terms of driving process efficiencies across the enterprise. Major initiatives of innovation would be huge ERP implementations, and the likes, cost reduction initiatives across the enterprise. And then the third very broad area within the whole transformational leadership definition would be driving organization change across the business and in an uplifting IT.
That's wonderful. And Hunter, from your perch as the president of HMG Strategy, you have reason to speak with a wide array of IT leaders. And I'm curious, just off the top of your head, of the CIOs you work with, what percentage of CIOs would you say are in transformational positions currently?
Wow, that's a great question. And I guess the great consulting answer is it depends.
Right.
It depends on the space you're looking at,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
I think if you're looking at the Fortune 500 set of global CIOs, it's going to be a much higher percentage. I think if you look at the CIO IT leader spectrum, more broadly speaking, it's the definition is broader and the statistics are lower. It probably drops down in the 20 to 30% area would be truly transformational in a broad sense. And the suggestion with the book really is, let's begin the dialogue and really discuss what does it take to be transformational. So broad answer to a very specific question, but I've heard everything from a low of 10 to 20% to, you know, 50%. So it's somewhere in that range.
Got it. Okay. One of the things I thought was very interesting about the book itself, I thought we'd focus for briefly on the way in which the story unfolds within the book. You use a unique storytelling method, at least by my estimation. It feels as though you're kind of a moderator of a series of conversations with CIOs, with the IT leaders telling their own stories through their quotes, and you providing the color commentary, the syntax, the analysis of that. How did you arrive at this method of storytelling?
Well, a couple things. I think it's really important to give context and background. Mm-hmm. I came out of a fine business school where we basically studied case study analysis, the Harvard Business School case study analysis of how you go through looking at business problems and coming to a conclusion with the team's input and coming with a conclusion is what are you going to do? It's Monday morning at 7 a.m. What's the next step? What are your actions that you're going to take on, right? So in the context of working with CIOs, I've been working with CIOs since about in the late 80s. So 1988 is when I started on the consulting journey. To move it fast forward to current day, at HMG Strategy, we reach 10,000 CIO IT leaders across North America. We're in 15 major markets, doing about 24 summits throughout the year. And it would occur to me, given my training and background, a little bit of market research background in there as well, is it wasn't so much what's important with my model or approach, but what was really most important is getting the thinking tied around 4, 5, 6 different ideas, specific ideas that pull the story together on how to uplift one's self, first off, a CIO IT leader, and then secondly, a business and a company in the marketplace. And then thirdly, how to drive change across an organization. And fourth, how to bring consensus and bring a group of IT leaders along with you on this journey. So it's a pretty, first off, it's, you know, as I said before, it's a tough job. And it's a huge mandate. What truly is a transformational CIO needs to do and deliver against. And so there are a lot of moving parts, both technology, relationships, business-related items, and so forth. So what this book does, it really attempts, and many of the folks that are in the book and are quoted in the book say it delivers against the promise that it's a real roadmap to help CIO IT leaders elevate themselves and, frankly, in their careers and their companies and the market stature. If you follow along the line of thinking and the interviewing process was, again, it was more about really what collective wisdom did we have access to within our network of 10,000 IT leaders that we really wanted to showcase. Ramon Baez from Kimberly-Clark, and hear how Ramon went global and built a world-class global organization at Kimberly-Clark.
That's excellent. I also wanted to ask you, since you do have reason to interact with so many great CIOs in this fantastic network of 10,000 that you refer to, how do you see the role evolving? You've talked about, and I certainly agree, that this is a complicated, complex role that is still evolving, that is relatively new among the C-suite, that is increasingly business-centric. What are some of the things that you see as kind of the evolving role of the CIO?
Well, first off, thanks for bringing this up. Today, more than ever, leadership, and what I mean in this book is transformational leadership really counts. It's more important than ever. And when you think about yourself, you do a little bit of an assessment. I think we all need to be a little, do a self-assessment in terms of our leadership styles. And if you look across the bell curve from an innovator or early adopter to someone who's in the middle of the curve in terms of your leadership style, you can always improve, right? That's the first thing. In terms of the role of the CIO, it's a really exciting time. In the new book that we're working on Top of the Cloud, and we're already starting on the research for that book, I had the chance to interview the COO of and president of VMware, Todd Nielsen. And Todd agrees that his 30-year experience, it's a really exciting time to be a CIO. So clearly, on top of mind is the cloud and how to leverage the cloud both in terms of innovation and in terms of cost efficiencies that you can scale out. Some of the newer technologies would obviously include the mobile and what you can do with mobile, tablets, what kind of innovative solutions you can provide the business there, what kind of social media solutions are available for the business. There's just a huge opportunity now, more than ever, for a CIO really to harness the whole notion of setting a strategic vision around innovation, growth, and really move forward an agenda that I think just wasn't possible just 3 years ago.
That's fascinating.
In your book, I wanted to actually cover the framework that you use to hang the stories on. You refer to a four-step model for CIOs, and it's define, build, lead, and change. And I wonder if you could take a moment to walk us through the definition of these.
Yeah, first off, this is one person's viewpoint. And I've studied leadership for a long time, the whole notion of what it takes to lead. And I consider myself a student of it and a teacher, a thought leader. But it's an ongoing evolution, a process, I think, to constantly hone one's leadership skills. We certainly learned that from Stephen Covey, right? And keep the saw sharp, right? Mm-hmm. But number one is define a vision. And really get in your mind a clear vision. You can communicate clearly and effectively and simply to the business, to the executive suite, across the business unit, and then down into your IT organization that people can get around. In the book, you'll see examples from Roger Berry, former CIO of Disney. Roger's a brilliant thought leader in the space and had a strong vision on how to really grow the strength and influence of IT for Disney and his tenure there. Mentioned already Ramon Baez. Phil Fasano, CIO at Kaiser, reports at a senior level into the executive team, and really he views himself as a business leader that happens to have technology. So the second step is build an effective team, really. You have to be able to have a world-class team in order to execute against that vision, right? So the vision is clear, it's simple, it probably could sit on one or two slides, you can talk to it, you can wrap people around it, and get people excited and passionate about what you're thinking about and how you're leading the organization, but you need a world-class team around that, both within your IT organization and then building world-class teams into the business. In one of our recent summits, Cliff Triplett from Global CIO Baker Hughes had a specific example about innovation. He said, look, what you really need to do is go find some really strong, aggressive business leaders that have some interesting business problems and issues they're looking to solve, and go in there and embrace that business leader and embrace them with technology and see how the technology innovates and grows and see where you go with it. And then bringing that back, that whole idea of innovation back across the organization. But that's another example of externally partnering with the business and building a world-class team and then bringing it back to the broader sense. In the book, Richard Ducci specifically, CIO of Boston Scientific, has some great examples, as well as Greg Bonacontri of Pitney Bowes. The third area is lead. Create a culture of leadership, world-class leadership. Well, what does that mean? Boy, it's got to inspire confidence in the vision. It's got to inspire confidence in effect, your word, what you do as a leader. And you have to be consistent. You have to be authentic. And we know world-class leadership works with principles, and it deals with ideals, and it's based in solid values, with a foundation of values that you can grow on. And then finally, inspire an organization of change. Critical to really help people open up their mind and to think differently, to be open to a new dialogue. Because typically, what's gotten you to where you're at isn't optimal. I think we can all agree that you can always improve. Back to the initial notion, we can always improve our leadership skills. Well, within a major change initiative, whatever level that you're at, whether it's the boardroom, it's a change initiative in the marketplace with customers or stakeholders, or across the enterprise, or within your IT organization, by embracing a culture and a mentality, an openness of change, you can help people, uplift people, and bring people along to that, again, that future state vision.
And good examples, I think, of some of the people who are using some of these ideas and actually whose stories are told in the book as well.
Well, you know, what's fascinating for me is just studying the whole process of growth and the successful companies that we've seen over the past 10 years. And I think you'll come around and agree that they've leveraged technology as a competitive lever. So they're either doing it inside or likely partnering with the right external partners, outsourcing what's not core, and keeping what's core inside. Of course, understanding that certain vertical industries are regulated differently, so there are different requirements relative to what you can keep inside and basically outsource. But specifically, basically focusing on core and leveraging external partners for a strategic advantage while you're building your position.
Makes sense. Another theme that you hit on in the book is advising CIOs to think more like CEOs. And I wonder, what are some of the steps that you have seen successful CIOs or advised CIOs to take in order to do so?
Well, you know, it's fascinating. In all the interviews, there are a few CIOs really stood out. And one of those was Pat Toole, global CIO for IBM. And I asked Pat at the very end of the interviewing process, how do you manage IBM's enterprise and IT for the company? And he said, it's pretty simple, straightforward, and it's earnings per share, EPS. And that makes sense. Tie to the objectives of the CEO, right? And when you think about it, he's drawn back, my view on this, and other people collaborated, right? Besides the CEO and the head of audit, there's no one else really has line of sight across the whole enterprise like the CIO does, and the license to go in and ask questions and get engaged around top-line growth ideas or opportunities, driving efficiencies or cost reduction initiatives. So it really is, back to the beginning and the premise of the book, it's a unique opportunity in the history of business today, right now, and for the CIO to take a transformational viewpoint and a leadership viewpoint and really get engaged and drive transformational change.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Makes very good sense. I wanted, as a last question, Hunter, to ask you a bit about trends. Obviously, you've mentioned a few important trends like cloud and like mobility. With all the conversations that you have and a lot of the topics that are raised and the events that you put together, what are some of the trends that you find particularly exciting right now?
Well, I find, you know, one thing that's just fascinating, right, is this is the cloud and the whole notion of what the cloud's going to mean to the global CIO or IT consumption across the globe in the next 10, 20 years. I think we're only probably, in my view, the first inning of a very long game, probably an extra inning game at that. And the folks that are going to win truly are the ones that embrace that idea and that notion. But I'll go beyond the cloud, because the cloud is simply a tool, right? A tool to help you either innovate fast and accelerate innovation initiatives. Like Randy Spratt from McKesson recently at our San Francisco summit, Randy said specifically, you know, we reward innovation projects in IT, and we measure how quickly they fail. I said, wow, that's fascinating. Because they know if an innovation project fails, they're quicker to the successful innovation, right? When through deductive reasoning, you're going to get more innovation across the culture because you're really rewarding an innovative culture, right? So the cloud and how you can leverage the cloud in various aspects, whether it's innovation projects. And, you know, back to Todd Nielsen again from VMware, he said specifically that he was just one day checked how many cloud initiatives do we have out there in the company, and he was surprised to know they had 16 at the time. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because when you think about it, feels like back to the mid-90s. If the CIO doesn't take the initiative right now and step up the game and really figure out, okay, where the cloud fits, where it doesn't, the business is going to go off and do it on their own. They're going to swipe a credit card. They're going to take off and do it. Feels and sounds like the dot-com stuff all over again, right? They're going to go do it on their own anyway. So that's one piece. The other trends, I mean, the mobility is fascinating, right? Mobile computing and the mobile workforce, where that's going. We're just kind of in the middle of that game right now and seeing how that all sorts out. The players are intense. The competition's intense, and the opportunities is tremendous. I mean, those are two key areas that I think there's huge opportunity. And then I also really quite very frankly think in the history of IT, if you go back to Gerald Shields' comments about the CIO and innovation, we've been innovating for 40 years. I think it's time to step up and really take that transformational viewpoint. Be the transformational leader and wrap yourself around this viewpoint, a vision for yourself and IT, and figure out really how to communicate effectively. The real value drivers and the impact that IT is delivering today, build out a future state, and begin to sell and deliver against that future state. But sell in measured ways, right? But do it in an appropriate, measured fashion and build credibility and look towards how you can help your business. Go beyond. We've been talking about alignment for too long. Go beyond alignment and look where there are those opportunities. Again, as Cliff Triplett from Baker Hughes said, go find somebody who's innovating in the business and throw some technology under it and see where it goes. And there's so many ways you can really find out how to move the needle or increase value as an IT leader at whatever area you are within the enterprise. If you really get around this whole notion that, look, leadership counts, transformational leadership counts more than ever now, and I'm going to be part of that transformational curve. And, well, my suggestion is read the book, right? We do conferences around North America, as I said earlier, and I actually think some of the best stuff from our program is in the book, and we've done a great job highlighting some of the best practices and case examples in terms of your point, the methodology. It really is about elevating the CIO as an IT leader in their profession that ensures their successful ascent and their organization's success.
Excellent. Well, good. Well, Hunter, thank you so much for taking some time on the Forum on World Class IT to describe the book itself, some of the content, certainly several of the leaders who contributed to it, and congratulations again.
Great. Thanks. It's a pleasure being here and looking forward to following up here.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information about these five principles and sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com. And please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our editor is Chris Davis, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.